The reading is taken from Revelations chapter 21, verses 1 to 8, the New Jerusalem. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down. These words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all of this, and I will be his God and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this Easter season, but we thank you that every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. Lord, we thank you that the tomb is empty and that you are the risen Lord Jesus. And Lord, would you open your word to us and would you bring us resurrection life today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, Ewan. So I hope you've had a good week. The children have been off school and there's been some okay weather. So some of you have been at home and I know that others have been away in this Easter week. Well, Paul and I were able to get away for a couple of nights at the beginning of the week. We were staying in Abergavenny near Wales. Well, in Wales. We were staying in Llanfoist near Abergavenny. And I can't say either of them by the sounds of it. Well, so Sunday night we had a really good sleep. And on Monday morning we woke to rain. So we've got a big walk planned, but rather than do that, we went to something called the Big Pit. It's a coal mine that now has a visitor's attraction and museum. And I have to say, it was excellent, especially the hour tour that we had down the mine. Now, there are many things that we saw and things that we were told that will really stick with me. And I want to start this morning by telling you about one of them. We were 90 metres underground, and they brought us to the place where the pit ponies were stabled. It was very dark, other than the light from our hard hats. And our guide was brilliant. And he told us how those horses worked for 8 hours a day and that they did so for 50 weeks of the year. Down there. It was only for 2 weeks of the year when the pit closed for the miners' fortnight holiday that those horses were taken up to the surface and placed into fields with lush grass and air around them and space. And our guide then uttered the words, "Those 2 weeks must have been paradise for them." Indeed. I was struck by the incredible contrasts for those horses in those 2 weeks. Light in the place of darkness. Space instead of cramped conditions. Fresh grass rather than dried hay. Rest in the place of work. Paradise indeed. I start with this story because I have the privilege today of speaking about the true paradise and the greatest contrast ever, that being life in place of death through Jesus. The truth on offer to all who believe in Jesus, and not just for 2 weeks of the year, but for forever, for all eternity, is life in its fullness. It is on there, but don't worry, it's... Oh! Okay, something's been corrupted. But please don't be distracted. That's what the world wants to do, is corrupt and distract from the message this morning, which is in Jesus, we are offered life instead of death. It is light rather than darkness. It is a spacious place. It is rest, and there will be a banquet, for the Bible tells us so. But the best news ever is that there is life in the place of death, and it's life with God. So we've come today to the final line of our Apostles' Creed, which we've been studying for 13 weeks. Well, we've got one more week because we are going to preach on the Amen. So come next week to hear Dave preach on Amen. But our line today, we will stand in a moment and we will say, I believe in the life everlasting. I believe in eternal life. The truth that in Jesus we are offered life in the place of death. And it is so good to be looking at this on this second Sunday of Easter, because this is the message of Easter, that Jesus' death and resurrection bring triumph, two triumphs, one over sin and the other over death. The cross paid our price for the sin, and the empty tomb shows us Jesus rose from the dead. And this brings life forever with Jesus for all who believe. In Jesus, we are offered life in the place of death. So let's look in Scripture. If this is a doctrine of the church, where do we find information about eternal life? Well, it's there in many, many places, many references in Scripture that assure us of this promise of eternal life. One is, of course, that best known and most quoted verse in the Bible. I've told you before how as a youngster, I loved watching the Winter Olympics and the bobsleigh. And every time they came round a particular corner when the cameras were on it, there were some really faithful people that held up this placard that just said, John 3:16. Then another bobsleigh whizzes round, John 3:16, another bobsleigh, John 3:16. Only that reference, because they thought people would know it. That people know that John 3:16 says... And join in with me if you wish. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Brilliant. Well done. It talks of God's love. God so loved the world. It talks of the gift of Jesus, that he gave us his only Son. And it tells us that there's nothing we have to do except believe in Jesus. For whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. It shows us that in Jesus, the outcome of perishing that is death is overcome and replaced by life eternal. Well, we're up on the screen. This is what we're looking at. We're looking at, I believe, in everlasting life. Just to prove we went down a pit, there you go. We're talking about life rather than death, and we're looking now in the Scriptures. In John 6, we find Jesus himself talking about eternal life. He says this, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." This is hope. This is truth. This is certainty. There's also verses that help us understand more and bring some explanation and insights. When the Apostle Paul writes to the house churches in Rome, he states, "The wages of sin is death." Wages of what we get for what we do. what I do is not always the right stuff. So what I deserve in return is death. That's the payment I deserve, we deserve. But Jesus paid the penalty for my sin and your sin. When Paul writes to the church in Corinth, he said, God made him who had no sin be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. My sin means I deserve death, but Jesus took on my sin and yours on the cross so that we can be forgiven and so that we can therefore be in relationship forever with God. So when we go back to that verse in Romans, it goes on to say, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Last Sunday, we had our wonderful Easter celebration where the women and the disciples run to the tomb and find it empty. Jesus conquered death and therefore has overcome death for us. Death does not have the final word. This is hope and this is joy for us as Christians. In Jesus, we are offered life in the place of death. And when we go back a few days more to Good Friday, Jesus on the cross with criminals either side of him. And one criminal speaks with Jesus. And Jesus' reply, today you will be with me in paradise. The criminal says to him, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He's close to earthly death. It could be hours, it could be a matter of minutes. And Jesus says to him, truly I tell you, which in scripture and in the way that was spoken in those days says, listen to this, it's very, very true. Very truly I tell you in the old versions. Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. There's beautiful things about that criminal on the cross. He had no time to come to church and worship. He had no time to go on a mission trip. He had no ability to give some of his salary to the organisations that promoted Jesus. But truly I tell you, today you'll be with me in paradise, this free gift of everlasting life with Jesus. And this word paradise leads us to ask and explore what life forever with Jesus will be like. I wonder when you've used the word paradise. It's often used when something is so very different to everything else we've ever known. You've maybe, some people, heard people use it to show you a photo when they've been on the most beautiful white sand beach with the ocean lapping. And it was used by our coal mine guide to contrast that dark, cramped conditions and hard work of the horses to light and space and rest and a taste of freedom. And here in the reading that Nick just brought to us, we have paradise put into words. A glimpse of what is to come, of what it will be like. A glimpse of paradise. This book of Revelation, we see the vision given to John and the voice he hears and what he's told to write down. It's the most beautiful vision of something very different. If we wanted things to be different to how they are now in our broken earthly world, then surely this is how we'd want it to be. No more tears. Every tear wiped away from people's eyes. So no more crying, no more pain, no more mourning, because there's no more death, because there is life. Says the old order of things is gone. Jesus says, behold, he is making all things new, a new heaven and a new earth. And the other beautiful thing we see in this vision, the other truth of eternal life, is that it's about being with God forever. The text says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God.'" Being where God is, there's no greater place to be than that. Eternal life is being with God. Eternal life is a relationship with Jesus. It says in the text that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And in a relationship with Jesus, there is no end. Death doesn't stop our relationship with Jesus. In fact, it just gets better. And it lasts forever. When people who we know have been followers and lovers of Jesus die, we know that they are now seeing Jesus face to face. There's no need for faith anymore. They're there before him. The best is yet to come, brothers and sisters. The best is yet to come. No more crying, no more pain, no more mourning, no more death. And in my final point, I want to pick up on a phrase I've just used. I said, eternal life is a relationship with Jesus. Now, we come into relationship with Jesus when he draws us to himself and when we say yes to him. That moment when we say, "Yes, I believe in you." We say, "Sorry for the things I've done wrong. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. You are my saviour." And then handing over to him, allowing him to come into our life, saying, "Please come into my life as king. You are my Lord. You direct my ways." Every true believer is in relationship with Jesus. Eternal life is about being in relationship with Jesus forever. So eternal life begins the moment we say yes to Jesus. And yes, the best is yet to come, but we are offered life with Jesus now. And when Jesus walked the earth, he said, "I have come that you might have life and life in its fullness." We are offered life in its fullness. We can be fully alive now. Do you know, there was someone that got a little bit confused in a church about the verse that says, "I've come to give you life and life in its fullness." They said, what's this life about? Why is it about dancing? The person who was a Christian said, "I don't know what you're on about." He said, the preacher just said he came that we might have life and life in a barn dance. No. He came that we might have life in abundance. I love this following verse, and we use a course here at St. Mary's often after Alpha. We call it the green course because the book used to be green, but it's called Growing in Christ. And the weeks of it give us different assurances from the Bible of what we believe because of what Jesus has done and what it says. And I love this verse. So if you've done the green course, this has been one of your memory verses. "And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life." Something important to notice about this verse, yes, translated from the Greek, but it's in the present tense. We have eternal life now. We have Jesus and our relationship with him now. We have life through Jesus now. And as I was preparing this week and dwelling with this passage and dwelling with the whole aspect of life in Jesus. I felt the Lord give me a picture, and it started as a silhouette of a person, all black, a silhouette outline of a person standing there. And then as I looked, I saw from the toes to the tip of the head that outline being filled with light. It's actually more like fire. And I felt that God was saying to me and saying to us that we're offered life in its fullness. We are offered to be fully alive now. The toes to the tip of our head just indicate that there'll be parts of our life where maybe we just haven't let Jesus in yet, or we haven't let him in fully. I believe God is inviting each of us today to step fully into the life he has for us. Life in its fullness, resurrection life. Not just thinking ahead to eternal life, although that is amazing and a certainty and a hope. And if you don't yet know Jesus or you've not said yes to Jesus yet, do pause, spend some time to think, what is life like now and what does the future and even after death hold? But we don't need to just think about after our earthly life. We are going to declare, I believe in the life everlasting. And I feel the Lord is saying this today, look also at life now. And he's continuing to offer the gift, the living water, to refresh and change us. He's the only one who can transform our lives. And so he's offering us today, come and be fully alive in me, transforming any areas of darkness, coming to deal step by step with past hurts, holding and helping us in fears, fears about life, but also fears if they're there about death. He comes to bring us freedom from things we're holding on to that we don't need to hold on to. Jesus came that we might have life in all its fullness. In Jesus, we're offered life in the place of death. I love the story of Lazarus, where Jesus raises him from the dead. But remember, when he exits his tomb, he's still got grave clothes wrapped around him. And he needs help from others to take the grave clothes off. No matter when we said yes to Jesus, there can be bits of dark or death still clinging to us from our old life. Whereas Jesus wants to make us the new creations that he wants us to be fully alive in him. Those pit ponies, if they could have thought like humans, and if they had any choice and any option at all, would they have stayed in the pit? No, they'd have never chosen to stay in the pit. They would have come to the surface and relished the field and the grass and the sunshine and the space and the running around. Jesus says, I will lift you from the pit. To come is the fully out the pit into the freedom that he offers us. But in bits of our life that are in a pit, he also offers today to deal with those, bit by bit, shining in his light and bringing his life. So may we each have the courage to bring things to the surface and allow God to breathe his life and light into every area. We can't do it, but we can pray, come Holy Spirit, and allow God's work in our lives. We'll stand shortly and we will declare, I believe in the life everlasting. May that bring you great joy and hope and reassurance today. And may you continue to hear that in Jesus we are offered life in the place of death. And may he transform us that we might fully live and live for him. Amen. So he is our living hope. Let's reflect on this and stand and sing together.